morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for a sermon topic, A Bird Watcher's Dream, based on Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Mrs. Judy Tufo will be at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. Excuse me. Great to see you here. Excuse me. Great to see you here on this another wintry morning. A special welcome to any guests or visitors we have with us, and a welcome to anyone who is listening online and on the radio. We are so glad that you could join us here this morning. This morning we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. As Jesus comes to us in the waters of baptism, he comes, as we will see, to fulfill all righteousness, and that is what our topic and our theme for our sermon will be, and we will be seeing how Jesus fulfills righteousness for our behalf, and so we look forward to hearing his word this morning. We begin with our opening hymn, number 537. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Dear friends, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our introit follows Psalm 2. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
For his wrath is quickly kindled. With you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and as inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this Baptism of Our Lord Sunday comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open up the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare, for they spring forth. I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we continuing to in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please stand for the Alleluia verse? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I invite the children's forward for the children's message. Everybody, it's great to see you here, and I thank you for joining me up here. So I have a question for you. How many of you know how to write your name? You know how to write your name? Yeah. Okay, so I think most of us know how to write our name. So what kind of things would you write your name on? Oh, yeah?
Pictures.
What was that? Pictures?
No.
Sounds like pizza, but I know that's not what he said. But okay, so maybe pictures and papers and stuff, crafts you'd write your name on. Any other things we'd write our names on? Maybe a lunchbox. Maybe we write our names on articles of clothing. We write our names on all sorts of things, like maybe a football or something. You know what I end up writing my name on? I end up writing my name on a lot of books, and I have my Bible here, and if you open up to the front page, it says, belongs to Pastor Alan Mueller. And the reason why we write our names on things is because they belong to us and because we care about the object. You know, if I were to ever lose this Bible, I would want someone to find it, know who it belongs to, and return it to me. And I value it because it's just full of God's word. It's full of his love and grace. And so these are the things that we write our names on. But did you know God writes his name on you? Did you know that? And do you know, he doesn't do it, though, in marker, or he doesn't do it in pencil like we write on a lunchbox. But if you look behind you, you see what's right there? The baptismal font, right? In the baptismal font, Jesus writes his name on you. Not with marker, but he writes his name using the water. You were probably baptized in a font just like this one, if not this one, this very one itself. And in the waters, the pastor pours the water on you, and he says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and in that God writes his name on you. You know, you can look at my forehead and you don't see God's name on me, and yet it's still there. God sees his name on you, and so you are his. He cares about you, and you belong to him. And now every time he sees you, he sees his name, he sees that you belong to him, and he remembers that he loves you. He remembers that he's forgiven you, and that you are loved and cherished. With that, can you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your name. We thank you for the gifts you have given us in baptism, that we know that we belong to you and that you care for us greatly. We pray that you continue to bring us in this truth and to trust in your word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats. Thank you so much for joining me. Peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to ever visit my parents' house down in Georgia, one of the first things that you would notice is that my mom loves to cross-stitch. Now, I'm sure most of you know what cross-stitching is. You basically have colored threads, a needle, and what's essentially a blank canvas. And as the name suggests, you literally just stitch crosses in the canvas in order to create a picture. Well, if you were to walk into my parents' house, you'd notice that nearly every wall has one of my mom's pieces hanging on it. And believe me when I say they are truly beautiful. And I'm not just saying that because she's my mom. And I'm not just saying that because she's probably listening right now. But they truly are magnificent. They are actually quite big. Some of them must be 2 feet in diameter, maybe 3 feet tall. I'm talking hundreds of hours have been put into each piece. And each one of them are made up of nearly 100,000 individual stitches. And they're all perfectly framed. They're hanging on the wall. No exaggeration. There's over a dozen of them, and each as beautiful as the next. But besides just them all being beautiful, the one thing that nearly all of them have in common is that they're almost all birds. Now, I wouldn't say my family is necessarily obsessed with birds, but we certainly grew up with an appreciation for them. And not only were they found in pictures on the walls, but we also saw them outside as well. We had plenty of bird feeders so that when we sat around the kitchen table, we could again look outside and always see more birds. We kind of became novice bird watchers. Although I must admit, I hardly know anything about birds, but nevertheless, I've still been conditioned to look at them. And now every time I see one, I just have to stop and admire their beauty, for they come in such a variety with dazzling colors. Some of them are big, some are small, and when one looks at them, you just have to appreciate God's creation. And so it is at my parents' house. Everywhere you look, whether it's at the walls or out the window, you see and you are compelled to feel the beauty of God. For in a sense, these birds speak. Just by existing and just by being there, they reveal the beauty and the wisdom and artistry of God. In our gospel reading this morning, we are confronted with another bird. Matthew tells us that the heavens open up and from the sky descends a dove. And dear friends, it hardly needs to be said, but any time that the heavens open up, we do well to look in. If the heavens were to ever open up around here, you can rest assured I am going to be there immediately looking at it. When the heavens open up, there we see a window into the glory of God. The heavens open to reveal His majesty. And when you gaze through the window, there you will see God's beauty, and you will see who He is and what He is doing to save humanity. In this passage, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Spirit descends in both the form and the manner of a dove. Because to my knowledge, there's only two other places in Scripture where this dove-like imagery takes place. We first see it in Genesis 1, where God creates the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and we're told that the earth was in the state of chaos. And as it existed at the time, no life could possibly have been sustained. It was perpetually in the state of disorder until, that is, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. Or perhaps from the Hebrew, a better translation would be, Spirit of God flutters. There's some ancient Hebrew writings, kind of like commentaries or paraphrases today, that spoke of this Genesis passage. Rabbis well back into the first century and before said of this very passage that the Spirit of God was fluttering over the waters like a dove. They specifically mention this dove-like manner found within the creation account. And I don't think that the correlation between these two passages is just a coincidence. But even still, though, there's an even better image that we find elsewhere in Scripture. The dove also, again, makes an appearance at the tail end of Noah's flood. The floodwaters recede to reveal the total carnage of God's judgment. Again, you can picture the total chaos of the earth. There's this picture of the world's inability again to support life. For everywhere you look, you see the effects of sin and you see the judgment of God. There are dead bodies everywhere. There's animals, there's debris, all left over as a testimony to the reality of this fallen world. And sometime after the flood, though, Noah sends out a dove into this post-apocalyptic world. And the dove returns, and it descends upon Noah with fresh olive branch twigs. Held in its beak is this proclamation and a sign that life has returned to the world and that God's judgment has been satisfied. Both of these dove spirit occurrences happen while life is being brought into the world. In both cases, there's a sense of creation that's finally entering into the world. The world was full of darkness and helplessness, death and destruction. There was chaos everywhere, but these doves speak amidst all of the madness. They speak words of hope as they now proclaim to us that life has come. For the doves we see in Genesis, they don't just speak of God's artistry. They don't only reveal God's beauty in creation as if they were a picture to behold, but even greater, these reveal the glory and grace of God. In the dove, we see God's love for life, and we see his disdain for darkness. Again, in Matthew, the heavens open up, the dove descends, and we see the glory of God. For when Jesus comes out of the waters of the Jordan, we again see life entering into the world. For in those waters, Jesus identifies himself with sinners. He, a perfect man in all regards, puts himself in the place of fallen man. And just like the dove that flutters over the waters, just like the dove that returns upon Noah in the carnage of the flood, so too does the dove come upon Jesus. For this was also a time that the earth was full of death and destruction. Humanity is constantly living in darkness, and we're perpetually have lived in this state of curses and rebellion. Since the fall of Adam, that has always been the reality for man. And for since Cain and Abel, man, we have constantly been fighting. We've constantly been at war. We've constantly been killing one another. And the same that continues on today. We live in a world full of death and chaos. And it's not just because of other people, and it's not just because of the governing authorities of the world, but it's because of each individual creature. We all participate in the hatred and the chaos that exists in the world today. You and I, we both participate in why the world is full of darkness, death, and destruction. Whether we physically kill other people or not, our actions in themselves just don't support life. Instead, through our sin, we're constantly bringing death and God's judgment into the world. We sin against neighbor, we sin against God, and we sin against self, and we're constantly calling God's wrath down into the world, and we routinely to refuse his sacrificial death and his limitless love to others. And so it's clear for why the world is in the state of chaos as it is today. We have false idols. We serve false gods. We don't value, we don't thank God, and we don't recognize his countless gifts that he has given us. And we don't thank him for our lives. We don't thank him for the situations we find ourselves in, and we don't thank him for our health. And instead of all of that, we just reject so many of his blessings. But again, this dove speaks to God's glory. with the coming of that heavenly dove, we should expect in all of this to again see God's creative work happen once again. And he does this in Jesus by bringing life back into the world. Through the man Jesus, he comes to bring a new creation. By offering up his life, he takes God's wrath, and from rising from the grave, he destroys the power of the grave. Chaos has been defeated. Jesus has come to bring life and order into the world, and he accomplished all of this in full on the cross. And yet today we still wait for the final fulfillment of all of this. It has yet to come in its totality, as we still feel of its lack and we still long for its coming. We're still waiting to see the fullness of God's beauty in its entirety. We may see small glimpses of it today. We see it in his love for creation. We see it in the artistry of birds and doves, and we see it in his immeasurable love for Jesus. But on the last day, we will see his love and his glory in its fullness. Darkness, death, sorrow, and pain will all be completely removed. They will be set aside to reveal the true artistry and the true love of God in all of its glory. And all of creation will then join in one glorious orchestra and sing praises to God's grace, his wisdom, and beauty forever. For Jesus has come to bring life and a new creation to earth. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. seated, and at this time, I invite all who will be serving as officers in the year 2020 to please join me in front of the railing. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In doing so, the Church follows the example of the early Church as described in Acts chapter 6, where it says, "The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayers and to the ministry of the word.'" The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift of varied grace, in order that in everything God may be glorified ever and ever. Amen." Dear friends, you have been chosen of us. You are to be orderly and pleasing in His sight. You are to see that the services of God and of the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, and that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to His institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that the proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and sick, and cultivating harmony among the members, and promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness and life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of this congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in His church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? And do you promise to faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. And to the congregation, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that He may be glorified and that His work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters of Christ, I install you as officers of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of His name and to the good of His people. Would the congregation please stand for prayer? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and kindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all the faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear friends, go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may return to your seats. In the congregation, we remain standing for the prayers of the church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the great love in your redemption of mankind. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to walk along this cursed ground, and we thank you for his mighty work as he entered into the waters of our baptism. Identifying himself with sinners, he took our guilt and shame upon himself. And so we ask of you, Lord, that this truth would come upon us. May our sin be removed, and may we be found always as recipients of your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the nations, we pray for the leaders of the world. And this morning we pray especially for our President Donald Trump and for our representatives and leaders who serve in both the House and Senate. We ask that you would use them to bring about good in the world and to our nation. Lead them in wisdom, servitude, and in a spirit of humility. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, you are a God of comfort, life, and healing. We pray for all who are suffering from the evils of this world, who are suffering. We pray especially after the earthquake, and we pray for Iran, and we furthermore pray for our beloved on our prayer list, including Pat, Carol, Ronnie, Melissa, Nancy, Connie, Dorenda, John, Judy, Mike, Marjorie, Debbie, and Betty. God of grace, we pray that all of these would find comfort in your truth and trust in your promises. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, we thank you for bringing baby Adriana DeBray into the world this past Friday. We pray that this continues to be a time of joy for the parents. Give them peace, rest, and a heart full of thanksgiving to you. And we pray that you would graciously lead them to nurture this baby in both life and faith. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we pray to you, Father, through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together using the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. 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 You may be seated for our departing hymn.